One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey guys, welcome back to that was a weird sounding hey. Hey guys, welcome back to the episode of Be Here for a While. My guest today is a big part of this podcast. On the day-to-day basis, actually, like once a week basis, day-to-day? I don't know. It's Greg Hunter, my sound guy, but he is more than just a sound guy, and I'm sure there's a more technical way to say sound guy, but I'm a moron. I don't think your mic's on. We'll start over.
Now it's on. I blew it. The sound guy doesn't...
Actually, no, it's fine. Oh my God, the sound guy didn't turn his mic on. I'm not even cutting that out because it's really funny.
Yeah, let's just leave it.
That's awesome.
Yep. Shows you how good of a sound guy I am.
You didn't turn your mic on. Oh, that makes me happy. But you're more than that. You guys are going to find out about some crazy stuff. He's, like everyone in LA, you have like 13 jobs and he's in the entertainment industry doing some cool shit. So I'm so happy to have you.
I'm so happy to do this.
And he brought me red wine and flowers because he has some crazy stories about helping out at a flower shop. And he just decided to take some for free and give them to me.
I'm trying to make a pull for, being a big-time guest, a memorable guest.
You are maybe the most memorable now.
Fantastic.
No one's ever brought me flowers. I'm trying to think of...
I'm coming in kind of low in on the, low-profile side of things. I'm not a celebrity, just the behind-the-scenes sound guy.
I have, like, lots of non-celebrities on. Sometimes it's just...
I might be even, like, lower than a non-celebrity, though.
It's not true, Greg. You've lived a full
life. Until this podcast.
Your whole life's going to change.
Oh, I didn't say I didn't live a full life. It's not that many people know about this.
Your whole life's going to change after this podcast.
This is my moment. I can feel it.
It's hilarious. What was I going to say? I just lost my train of thought because I'm sober. And that's rare. Okay. I want to talk to you about... So when he walked in and he was explaining because I was like, oh my God, you brought me flowers. He's like, it wasn't like I didn't have to buy them. Like I brought them for free. And he started to explain how he helps out at this flower shop. And he has some crazy stories about working at a who would have thought that working in a flower shop could be so scandalous?
Who would have thought? The most scandalous. More scandal has happened there than any of my entertainment industry jobs.
Are you being totally serious?
I'm being not facetious at all. Like drugs, celebrity mishaps, all kinds of just weird stuff and stories has come through the flower shop.
Can you tell me some celebrity stories?
Absolutely.
Okay. And why you're encountering them? Because you're delivering the flowers, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's this place in Beverly Hills.
I also have designed for them a couple of times.
Oh, so you can have a flower designer on your...
Oh, absolutely. It's on the resume. I actually did the flowers.
What goes into designing? How do you know how to make them look pretty? I wouldn't know.
That's the thing. They're already pretty. You just stuff them in a
But sometimes
jar.
When I buy like a Trader Joe's bag of flowers or whatever you say, bouquet of flowers, and I put them in a vase, I'm like, I'm not doing this very good. It does not look very pretty the way I'm arranging it.
It's all about the tape.
The tape?
See, yeah.
There's tape involved?
Exactly. No, I mean, so what they do is they make a little grid on the top of the vase out of tape. I'm like letting out all of the florist secrets right now. I'm going to be shot dead by the florist mafia.
Seriously.
Here. This is just what takes, flowers from being like little funky to like amazing. It's just they put a tape grid on the top of the jar to hold all the flowers in place. So you just kind of slip one in at a time and then it just makes a big full bouquet like that rather than them kind of slouching over.
Honestly, that's one of the greatest things I've ever learned.
Yeah, that's the only secret.
I'm actually writing this down. you weren't joking though when you said it's kind of like a mafia thing too, but you'll explain that later. Okay, so what's your best celebrity story? It doesn't have to be one. It can be like, you can have like a best and like a most scandalous or...
Hmm.
God, I hope it's not going to be like someone I know or something.
Probably not. Okay. There's not anything in particular with me with like scandalous celebrity stuff. I've drank with Tim Oliphant there. Whiskey.
At the flower shop?
Yeah, he comes in all... He gets flowers every week.
And he stays there and drinks?
Not like every time, but he has
that's awesome.
I know. And so there's a lot of people like that that have been going there for years.
Uh-huh.
And they always order their flowers from the flower shop, and they know Ava and Dina, and whenever they come in, they'll have a drink with them.
Is there like a bar at this flower shop? This sounds like the greatest place ever.
It actually is the best bar in Westwood that no one knows about.
Explain the scenario of how they just start drinking with these celebrities.
Well, it's kind of like, so the front of the shop, it looks like any normal flower shop mm-hmm. that you'd expect to find, you know, when you go looking for flowers.
Okay.
But then there is a back building that has an enormous cooler in it.
Okay.
And,
is it like, does it look like a nice thing, or is it like look like a
warehousey.
Okay.
Speakeasy. Imagine like, you know, when you see like in a movie, like a sketchy kind of gambling ring going on uh-huh. in Chinatown, like you go through a back door, then another back door, then there's concrete floors and like a warehouse yeah. building. Like it's basically that, but instead of a whole bunch of older men smoking cigars and gambling, it's old ladies making flowers, smoking pot.
So they're like sitting around there at their, okay, so the yeah. front part is where they sell the flowers
exactly.
and then the back, they're like sitting around at a table, smoking pot, arranging flowers and drinking with customers.
Particular customers. Not everybody has that privilege.
Yeah.
And so,
how old are these women?
Oh, their ages range from 40 to 60, maybe even 70.
Should I start working there so I can find a husband?
Maybe.
Just
welcome you with open arms.
So I don't even know if that guy's single, but like let's say there's some like six, because you have to be kind of rich to get flowers every week. I mean, they're not
that's
cheap.
True. There's a lot like of rich folks kind of who like to flowers. Just basically, it's almost like charity, because it's like,
yeah,
I mean,
like I'm just
so
going
many...
to Trader Joe's, and it's a treat when I buy myself flowers from yeah. there. I'm like, well, I'm splurging.
And those are like $7
yeah.
a bouquet.
Yeah, if I do like the $11.99 ones, I'm like, this is a big day.
It's wild. It's yeah. wild. Some of the houses I've been in delivering flowers for this company just blows my mind. Like, you couldn't make that amount of money in a lifetime.
How much would you say someone spends, like a rough estimate that, of someone that's going in there every week to get the flowers for their house?
Oh,
I'm okay. To range from like normal, like let's just say like a normal dude actor who is probably just putting like a few bouquets around his house. What's the range that would cost to like, let's say a Persian prince who's probably getting like gigantic, crazy bouquets?
Yeah. Which.
So how much would you say a week is it?
There's multiple clients or customers who have for years now,
mm-hmm.
decades, you know, spend $150 a week. And they've got that standing order. Every Monday, uh-huh. we deliver, you know, one big arrangement for the centerpiece and then three small ones for
well,
the bathroom.
That's not that bad, $150 a week.
That's not that bad.
Gosh, I could... Listen, I mean, I can't afford that now because I have to keep up with my travel schedule, but heck, I might start doing that in yeah. about a few months.
When they get into the standing order range, it's not, like, crazy. But then again, like, I have delivered $1,000 arrangements and $500 arrangements.
Mm-hmm. So there's some people that spend, like, $5,000 a week?
Not a week.
Oh, okay.
Those arrangements, like I've delivered $1,000 arrangement, but uh-huh. that was for like, I really don't know. I can tell you about it. This is a pretty good story.
Okay, tell me
so,
about it.
So I deliver this huge arrangement. I mean, like literally it was so big. It's like as big as this coffee table, which you guys mm-hmm. can't see. So we'll put this in perspective. It's like 3 feet in diameter.
Well, okay, yeah.
All right, this big pot, and it's just stuffed full of flowers. I can barely carry it.
Yeah,
myself.
Like, how are you carrying that?
I don't know. They just sent me up there. I mean,
all right. Anyways, I'll stop interrupting.
Part of the job, I guess. You know, that's why there's guys who do deliver and the girls don't. Yeah. They're just the front girls. But so anyhow, unsuspecting, I have no idea that you know I deliver big crazy arrangements all the time. I figured this would go like all the other ones go. Here's your flowers. They don't care. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
The thing about delivering flowers, too, is that like you're delivering it to people who aren't expecting them because most of the time it's a gift, you know?
Oh.
So you catch them by surprise. They're not ready to tip you. You don't get tipped. They're kind of, and half the time it's like they don't want them. Because, like, you're delivering it for the husband who pissed his wife off, you know?
Oh, my God. And are you caught in the middle of it? Are they, like, mean to you?
There's been all kinds of scenarios.
I'm copywriting this right now. I might write a sitcom about, or no, like a drama about flower arranging. Doesn't that sound like a great idea? Or not?
It would be a hit.
Because there's so many, because it would just be about like the drama that goes on in people's lives. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. So back to the original story.
Yeah.
All right. I'm delivering this like $500,000, way too much money arrangement. And I go up to this really fancy house at the top of Doheny and get out and go up to the door, and like I have to talk to the people I'm delivering it to. Mm-hmm. I don't just walk up with the arrangement because it's so damn big I couldn't even fit it through the doorway maybe, and I don't want to just be holding it while I'm waiting for them to come and answer the door, right?
Yeah.
So anyhow, ring the doorbell. It's a nice fancy place like all the other places I go to, and this woman answers, a supermodel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like maybe 30, maybe like definitely like not like young, but like seemingly accomplished,
yeah.
Older woman wearing nothing but a t-shirt.
Just a t-shirt.
Just a t-shirt.
Okay.
Maybe there's underwear on. Definitely not a bra.
Yeah.
And it's a white t-shirt. And I'm just like, not sure if I should look or, you know.
Oh, what
like,
do you do?
And I don't know if she was expecting these flowers. And I'm just kind of like, you know, like, I've got flowers for you. And it's so big, I don't think I can walk it up through here. I got it. And she's like, oh, cool. I'll, you know, open up the garage for you. I go, okay, cool, no problem. And so I get the arrangement, go around through the garage, and the garage door opens. There's like a McLaren in there. I'm like, okay, Jesus. Wow, her husband or whoever's buying these flowers for her is loaded. And so I'm trying to like finagle this giant pot of flowers through mm-hmm. the door, and I spill some water on the floor. I'm like, oh, fuck. And so anyhow...
what if you would have scratched the McLaren with the flower pot?
Oh my God, life would have been over.
You'd have been like, I can't afford the $5,000 it costs to fix that scratch.
Yeah.
I would have dropped the flowers and ran. That happened to me. Anyways, keep going.
So she didn't change, you know, from where she went from the front door to go open the garage door. So I'm like, okay, she's probably just like a big deal. I'm like, I'm just the peon. And so she doesn't care that she's basically naked.
Yeah.
And... so anyhow, you know, I set the flowers down, and then she like hands me a rag to like wipe up the water.
Yeah.
In like a totally very polite way. Not like you've made a mistake, but like not like she wasn't shooing me out of the house, which I figured was weird because she's basically naked.
Oh my God.
And then she hands me $100 bill as a tip, I guess. And I was standing there like, you know. Are you ordering the pizza with extra anchovies? Like, what does this mean? Why $100?
Oh my God.
So either she's really rich or maybe she was propositioning me.
Oh my God.
But I kind of froze and just like backpedaled
mm-hmm.
out like a lame duck. And
well, how would you have even like gone further with that? Like, what would be?
Yeah, I know.
Because she could have just been like, well, and also you don't know if that husband was there and he was going to beat the shit out of you.
That's true.
He could have been like a Russian mobster.
He probably was.
So have you ever delivered... but that story's crazy.
I mean, she is so naked. And like she had...
Also, I would never answer the... like if my doorbell rings, right?
Yeah.
I take the time and I'm like that or something. I take the time to put something on. Not just open the door.
Sure. Like, and it wasn't like she like stuck her head out. Like she like basically flung the door open and posed. I mean, it was just kind of like...
You don't have to say on the podcast, but was it someone like famous or just like some hot girl?
The girls at the flower shop knew who she was. And she was definitely like a model or something. Like they knew her name. She's not an actress.
I'm gonna need you to find out who it is just so I know after
I can
podcast.
Get it for you. I really don't remember.
Yeah,
right now. It's more like her husband. They knew, I think they knew who, what her name was, because
she could be like
husband.
Instagram famous or something.
Oh, I'm
like,
sure she was.
And her, and like they know
totally
like, I don't know. That's,
but this was like even before Instagram was.
Oh, it was.
This was like 4 years ago.
Oh, I don't know, man. I you gotta find out for me.
Yeah, I'll find out.
So have you ever delivered to someone and it's the situation where like they don't want the flowers or they're clearly pissed or they're like mean to you?
I've got a great story.
I'm loving these stories. I feel like these are the fireside chats. That was something political. Shut up, Rachel. God damn it.
So one time, the flower shop's pretty close to UCLA. So it's like mm-hmm. pretty much where it's either rich people or college kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so going to deliver the, and I hate delivering to UCLA because mm-hmm. it's like, God damn, you got to get into these fucking apartment buildings. There's yeah. nothing worse than that because like you can't just open, you got to get a hold of somebody.
Yeah.
To get into the place at all. So usually it's a big pain in my ass.
That must be a horrible job to be a delivery person. I was just thinking because I get, my call box is still broken since I've almost lived here for like a year.
Every call box in LA is broken. Yeah. I can confirm as a delivery driver. None of them work. It's just a big facade.
That must suck. Because every time, and I always order my water from Google Express from like Costco because they're huge things and I can't carry those out of there. So I haven't delivered. And every single time the poor guy calls me and he's like, can you come open the gate? And I'm never home. It's like, because I don't know the delivery window that they're coming. And then they have to come back like the next day. I'm like, that must be the worst job. Or I'm like, can you just wait like 15 minutes? Maybe someone will come out or walk through. Now I feel so bad. That sucks. All right. Anyways.
There's a lot of tricks.
Yeah.
I've definitely climbed over my fair share of apartment buildings just because I'm like, I'm not coming back here. I'm delivering these flowers now.
Gosh, it's like, this is such a rogue job.
It's been pretty interesting.
So, okay.
Back
so
to the UCLA boyfriend.
Sucks. Yeah.
Sending flowers to yeah. the girlfriend no longer wants story. This couldn't, like, the serendipity of this story will blow your mind. So, because of the door situation and every mm-hmm. call box in LA is broken, like, I spotted some girls walking into this apartment complex that yeah. I gotta go. So, I like throw my car in park. I'm running up, like, hey, hold the door.
Because
uh-huh. if as long as I can get in, I can just leave the flowers at the door if they yeah. don't answer. So, they hold the door for me, and they're all kind of nice and everything, and it's two friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And. And so I get in the elevator with them, and they're complaining about this guy, bitching about Zach, let's just say.
Okay.
And, you know, it's just, you know, the friend who has the boyfriend is just like, yeah, you know, I cut the cord yesterday. Like, mm-hmm. I just bought it. She's like, oh, you made the right call. Like, you know, he's such a piece of shit, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, it took you too long. Like, both of them are talking like there's just no chance in hell he's ever gonna, you know, be in the picture again. Like, she finally.
And are you holding the flowers? I'm with holding them the flowers. In the elevator.
Yes, and it didn't even occur to me that like these could be for her. You know? She might be Ashley.
Yeah,
you know. And so, just we're riding all up, and then it's like, well, wait a minute, we're getting off at the same floor. And then it kind of occurred to me before we got to her apartment.
I want to throw up right now. I would be so nervous and awkward.
And,
how are you?
And I was like, wait a minute. Hey, are you don't happen to be Ashley Smith?
Yeah.
And then they both start like laughing. And it was absolutely from the guy that they were talking about in the elevator.
Oh my God.
Trashing. So he, you know, was in the
doghouse.
I
wonder if she took him back.
Oh, I don't think so.
This is why this scenario needs a show, because I need to know the resolution.
Yeah.
Maybe a reality show. Like, I want to know what happened with Ashley and Zach.
The world is wondering.
I won't be able to sleep tonight.
I don't think she took him back. I think she threw the flowers in the trash. I think she even might have suggested to me that she didn't want them.
Oh, my God.
But I think all of three of us actually just enjoyed the coincidence so much that, yeah. you know, it was worth.
That is kind of funny.
Yeah, it was just, I'm in the elevator with them. They're like, oh, my fucking boyfriend sucks. Like, oh, yeah, I broke up with him last night.
At least they could laugh about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, delivery guy holding the flowers.
Oh, my God.
From the boyfriend trying to be forgiven.
I still want to hear more flower stories. What? Who's the most famous person you ever delivered to?
Ooh, that's tough. It kind of depends on, like, you know, what area you're coming from. I've been to Quincy Jones' house a couple of times.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Rashida was never there. I was yeah. really upset. I was just like, come on.
I don't think she lives there.
But she probably got to go visit her dad. Yeah,
I think she's moved out of the house by now.
Well, I was going to politely ask Quincy to take his daughter on a date.
Did he open the door to some assistant?
Oh, hell no. I mean,
they never opened the door except for the naked woman, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
has there ever been a fully naked woman that's opened the door? Or is that okay? Because you told me before that you've been propositioned a few times, sort of.
Yeah. So another time, this is.
God, you got to have a lot of confidence to just swing the door open like that. Like,
see, she knew I was coming. Like,
oh, it was like something she'd ordered? Or she knew to expect you?
She could see me through the door.
Okay.
Or whatever. But the story I'm about ready to tell yeah. is me basically walking up on a girl topless,
uh-huh.
sunbathing outside, not knowing that flowers are being delivered.
Yeah.
And she's got a really private patio, and I'm just trying to find the front door.
Yeah.
Right. But she ran inside all scared, mm-hmm. you know, covered herself up, but then didn't put anything on, and then kind of gave me the full frontal.
Like, released her hands.
No, no.
Oh, I was
like... But, like, just called me over. And her friend was there, too, and they were laughing about it. So I think that the friend was kind of encouraging her to, like, try to seduce me.
Oh, they were probably, like, a little drunk or something. And they were
absolutely
yeah.
day drinking. Yeah, like, it was a two young girls.
Yeah.
Who knows who the flowers were from.
Yeah.
And I come, you know, around...
Who knows how they afford to have a private patio and a pool?
Well, it wasn't, like... It was like they were on the backside of like this condo.
Oh, okay.
It was in West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You know, they're renting the place. It just, there would be no reason for it because like the way that the apartment door was.
Yeah.
It was like on the backside and like they were the only door that was there.
Yeah.
So unless someone was coming to her place, no one would ever have to walk behind these bushes. There was no pool. Okay. They were just out there.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Sunbathing on their patio.
Oh, I see. That makes sense. Got it.
Yeah. But she didn't put on any clothes and then rather like called me over and was like, yeah, this is apartment, whatever. And I forget how that whole thing went
down. Have you ever actually hooked up with one of these people?
No.
I feel like that was a lie. You don't have to say their name.
No, I haven't. I haven't from a flower shop. There's other...
Delivery scenarios? How many sexual delivery scenarios are you involved in? This is how they make... This is why pornos are cheesy, because apparently this shit happens.
Exactly.
Not cheesy, but like unrealistic, but apparently they are realistic.
I have a very unrealistic life.
Okay.
And we're back.
We just took a little break. I had to pour some more wine. Anywho. Okay, I want to hear like one more flower story, and then we're going to go on
cool.
to other stuff.
I'll just tell you the most recent one. It's kind of everyday flower shop life, but like kind of puts in perspective. So I haven't worked there... since last November.
I just thought of you saying everyday flower shop life. Like everyone would know that. Like
it's a good life. Everyone needs to know it. I wish they could. I mean,
I'm involved now.
Like, I will take you there. You'll have a great time.
I don't know if I want a job there or...
You just got to get in so you can be like in the speakeasy
crew. Or I don't know
crew.
If I want to like figure out how I can get someone to deliver me a $1,000 bouquet. Anyways.
One or the other.
Yeah. Okay. So everyday flower shop life.
So... I haven't worked there since like last November, but they got in a pinch and these girls are my homies and I'd do anything for them. And they know that I kind of make my own hours. So they called me up. All their drivers were gone
mm-hmm.
and asked me to work a day. So like, cool, go in. It's the easiest. You just cruise around LA doing whatever you want.
Yeah.
And I have a delivery for, I think it's Caitlin Olson. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Anyhow, Mac from Always Sunny's wife. But I didn't know her name. I only know her as D because I only watch Always Sunny. I'm not that invested in it. I love Always Sunny. But anyhow, I didn't know their actual name. So anyhow, driving right along, and it's just like any other really nice house. And I guess I won't say the neighborhood because that's probably not appropriate.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so they've got a big gate, and the cable guy or some other guy's already pulling in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just pull in behind him so I don't have to... use the intercom
mm-hmm.
and then have what would probably be their maid or servant, you know, come get the flowers. I just pull in, you know, not realizing that it was anybody I'd even recognize.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I go to the door and ring the doorbell, and this guy pops his head around the corner, and it's Mac from Always Sunny.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh my God, what is he doing here?
I don't watch the show, but I know, which one is he?
He is...
But I know, like, I can picture the cast, sort of.
Not the deranged one, a bit more handsome.
Uh-huh.
Like... There's Danny DeVito and then like the crazy one.
Uh-huh.
He's not the guy who lives with Danny DeVito.
Okay. The other one.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. And so anyhow, he comes to the door to get the flowers and I just act like, I kind of like don't know what to say. And I don't realize that they're for D from the show because I didn't know her name. I was uh-huh. just like, these are for Caitlin.
Yeah.
And the way he like looked at me was kind of like, well, like you should know maybe. Anyhow.
Oh, so they date in real life or something?
They're married.
Oh.
So he probably ordered the flowers.
Oh.
They're actually married in real life. Yeah, yeah. But I just didn't know that was her name. And
yeah.
And I didn't know why. I didn't realize it was his house until like after I like gave him the flowers, and I was like, you got a sign right here. Like, treated him like any other person. Yeah. And I'm just like, all right, see you later, Mac. And then I got in my phone and Googled the name. I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's his wife. That's their house. Oh.
Is there someone that you, if you delivered to, you would not be able to play it cool? Like for me, I mean, I would try my best, but if I delivered something to Stevie Nicks and I didn't realize I was delivering to her and I got to meet her, I don't think I could not say something. I don't think I could be like, all right, sign here. Okay, peace out. I think I would be like, I love you. Is there anyone that you would not be able to contain yourself?
Trying to think. I mean, the truth of the matter is though, those people I've kind of already met and totally acted like a fanboy. Okay. For me, it's like all music related.
Oh, well, because you've toured with a bunch of really big bands.
I mean...
Wait, explain that. So how do you have so many jobs and so many lives? You're only 28.
I don't know.
And he's single, ladies, by the way, if you guys are listening. And he's very cute. How tall are you?
It's so funny you ask, because they measured me today at the flower shop. They were wondering. I'm 6'4 and a half. 76.
You almost seem taller than that.
I think it's
whatever.
Just floating.
6'4 and a half. Floating. He's got symmetrical features. I'll post a photo of him or
very,
something.
Very symmetrical. I've been working on my symmetry.
Actually, I'm going to Instagram story it. Anyways. So you explain this whole band situation.
Yeah. So basically, the people I'd probably like totally just fanboy over real hardcore are all your favorite emo bands from like when you were in high school, if you're about my age. So the early 2000, like... Dashboard Confessional, Taking Back Sunday, Brand New, Saves the Day, Seosin, Circus 5.
So were you opening for them?
No.
You were playing in the band?
Most recently.
I wasn't listening for a second because I was trying to take an Instagram story for you, for my listeners, of you. What?
Fantastic.
Okay, go back just in about 30 seconds.
Well, those are the bands that like I would totally fanboy over.
Okay.
Like... I guess they're, I mean, Tom DeLonge or Mark Hoppus, who I have not met either of. Blink-182.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, so, I normally know rock names, but those are, I know more classic rock stuff.
Yeah.
Not, like,
so, you know, when I was coming of age and getting into being a creative individual, picking up a guitar, learning how to play it, those were my gods.
Yeah.
Blink-182, Green Day, and all the other bands I had mentioned. So I've had the privilege and blessing of working with a lot of them and got to meet a lot of them and even got to tour. I went on the Taste of Chaos tour. It was last summer. Mm-hmm. Just rode around in the tour bus. I was doing a whole bunch of different video work for them and photographs.
Oh, so you're not playing in the band?
I was not playing in the band.
Oh,
no,
got it.
But I have been on different tours back when my band was still around. So like,
okay,
but that's a whole nother story.
So who have you gone on the road with that are like a big deal?
Taking Back Sunday, Dashboard Confessional, The Early November, Seosin.
And you were doing video for them?
Yes. Yes.
Any cool stories there?
Oh, tons of cool stories. I mean, that whole just being involved in that was the, you know, a dream come true. Every moment I was awake, I would just like, I mean, I'm sleeping on the tour bus. I could reach down and touch, you know, a guy that I idolized when I was 15.
Oh my God, this is like almost famous.
You know? It's totally like that. And like these guys embraced me and they were so cool and I'm so grateful. I mean, I got to go to their house in North Carolina, like meet their family, just play some backyard wiffle ball and drink beers and just like hang out and, you know, all summer long.
Are you still in contact with any of them?
Absolutely. They invited me out to their show when they were here in August. Mm-hmm. And like we picked up right when we left off. It's cool that I feel like it's evolved. I don't want to call it a friendship because like, I feel like people in their shoes, it's like there's so many people who want to be their friend.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
I have their phone numbers and I'm so grateful for it. And the one time that I have something to share with them
via
phone, I will. But like, you know, I was just glad that they wanted, you know, called me out. I got to hang with them.
That's so cool.
And
also,
actually,
very classy of you not to like, you know.
I think it'll come along, you know.
Yeah. Because I bet there will be something someday soon that you could like invite them to like a premiere or something of like a movie you've shot or something.
Well, they know that I've been working on this movie because they actually through touring with them, I got to meet and work with their producer, an engineer who did their last record, and he was on the East Coast, but he recently moved to LA and now he's set up in 17 Hertz, which is a studio in North Hollywood where Kendrick Lamar did his last record, to put it in perspective. Metallica did like all their albums there.
Wow.
And so he's got a residency there, and it worked out because I was in touch with him at the right time that I got to record the soundtrack to my movie there with him, his first project there before they started charging him. So I got like 10 days of recording time at this world-class studio.
So did you make all the music for your movie, the soundtrack?
Yeah.
Wow.
Played the drums and the guitar and the bass. And
you do a lot of things.
I do a lot of things, which is kind of like my tragic flaw. It's like, you know, you're chasing too many carrots.
It's a great term. That's a great screenwriting term.
Oh, yes.
Is that a tragic flaw, though? Because you think it's like, you think it's that where you have your hand in so many different things that you can't excel specifically in one?
Exactly.
I don't know that that's true.
Maybe not. I think because I'm just growing out like a big circle instead of one straight line. So eventually, at some point, I'll
just eventually something
everything
will hit. I think that that's pretty common for a lot of people.
I hope so.
At least, I'm a positive person, so that's what I think.
Yeah. The truth of the matter is now, I'm just not worried about it. Yeah. Like, my dream.
I just am not that worried about it.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the big thing I wanted to do in life was probably tour with Taking Back Sunday.
Yeah.
And Dashboard Confessional and the early November and Seosin. Like, those guys in particular. And the fact that they were all on one tour together.
Yeah.
It was just like, I cannot believe I'm here. Oh my God. So, dream come true. Uh-huh. They pulled me on stage. I got to sing Coldplay Fix You with Dashboard Confessional and all the other lead singers of those bands in Vegas in front of true story.
Did you know they were going to pull you on stage?
No, I had no idea.
Why did they do it?
They were just like, you know, giving me the hand, and then I just kind of went up there, and then I'm arm in arm with John Nolan and Adam Lazar, and I'm 3,000 people in front of me. And you know what's awesome about it too is that like I got no photos of it. I never posted it. I never bragged about it. It's mine. It's mine. Like I.
Another classy move.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have. You know, what was I going to do at the time? And there was no one else there. I'm sure there's pictures of me on Instagram from people who were in the crowd, but they're just like, who the fuck's that tall, goofy, lanky?
Have you ever
idiot?
Tried to find one?
No.
I'm going to try to find one for you. How long ago was this?
Last summer.
I'm going to see what the tags are.
it was at the Chelsea in Vegas.
You should really try to find it, but I'll try to find it for you.
All right. I should. It's up here.
Are you done shooting that movie?
Well,
is this couple questions. Is this your first movie? B, how did you like get into doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And what's your involvement in it? C, are you still doing it?
What was A?
A, I already forgot. I should do one question at a time. Okay.
Are you still shooting it?
Yeah.
Was A?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, we could be done now, but like the problem is that we keep going out to the Mojave Desert and finding even cooler places to shoot. So like when we originally wrote the script, we didn't plan on there being this cave scene, but now the cave scene is going to be the best thing about this whole film.
Okay.
And I'd like to, at one point, maybe we can play the music for the cave scene because that turned out so good. But we found this, it's a lava tube is what it's called.
What's that?
So I guess, I don't know geologically how or why it happened, but there's this little, how do you want to call it, like cave.
Okay.
But it's only like a small little room. And then there's this little tube, this like, kind of looks like a funnel.
Uh-huh.
If the ceiling's kind of like a funnel. And so at the very top, there's maybe only, it's in like the size of a basketball, but like light shines right in. Mm-hmm. And it's the only source of light down there. Mm-hmm. But it like comes in like a beam, and it's just this epic beam of light, right?
I feel like I've seen one of those like in a movie or something.
It's from the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I can like picture what it is.
Yeah, totally. That's cool. And it's just like naturally forming. And so when we stumbled upon this, we're like, well, we got to write this into the movie. I mean, like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And so we decided, to write into the movie, and now we've got the lead guy. He falls through the hole, mm-hmm. and so we're doing. This is the last scene we have to film. Yeah. Is taking a big gymnastics mat out there, and he's going to fall 18 feet, and we're going to film it in super slow motion in this cave.
That really doesn't seem like enough safety for 18 feet.
It's probably not. That's the most badass thing about this film is that like no permits, no permission.
Yeah.
We're just going out there and doing it. Me and my best buddies, and the whole I think concept of the film is like, how much fun can we have? How badass can we be? How much of our lives can we risk and make it back? We've done some crazy shit. We've been on top of a 100-foot water tower that we found abandoned out there.
Oh my God.
With like crazy winds blowing. Like literally, our entire lives, all of our equipment is on our DP shoulder, Ilya, this Croatian man, and he's blowing in the wind. And he's got $15,000 worth of camera gear on his shoulder, and then the actor in front of him, who's not tied onto anything, could fall off the side of this 100-foot silo that could just break. I mean, we don't know how long it's been standing there. It's rusted metal. We just climbed up it. But the shots are incredible. It's going to look like a million-dollar film.
So you guys are all in the film. So
yeah.
So how many people wrote it? How many, like, are you guys all in it, the ones that wrote it?
Yeah. Yeah. So the story is, it's called Roller, and it's a rock opera. The music came before the movie. Basically, the idea started from my business partner and movie making militia man. I got a little crew of guys, and we're the Mansfield movie making militia. There's like five or six of us, and we get a lot accomplished for not as much money as people in the studios make you pay. He came to me.
So that's the name of your company, Mansfield Movie Militia?
No.
Oh.
No Collar Films is my company.
Okay.
We're dropping the films, just No Collar.
Okay.
It could be No Collar Recordings, No Collar Productions, No Collar whatever. We do a lot of different stuff.
Okay.
But the concept, not
if
white collar.
You guys
collar,
need shit, hire him.
Yeah. Not white collar, not blue collar.
No collar. Collar.
Not
I
working
like it.
For nobody.
That's great.
Yeah. So anyhow, Craig came to me in 2014, once I got back from tour with my band. There's a song that I had written called Coke Lot, and he was like, dude, this just makes me think about this guy just hauling ass out in the desert on like a shitty motorbike. And so like, yeah, dude, that's awesome. Let's like make a music video with this. Let's buy this like badass Mad Max motorbike, and we'll just film this guy flossing through the desert.
Yeah.
And then me and him wrote another song called Origins, which happened to be in the same key, and it's kind of soft and slow, like explosions in the sky. And we're like, oh, like what if we got this like flower growing out of the desert, out of the sand in the desert? Like it's like resilience, you know?
Yeah.
And then we started tossing that idea around. We're like, well, let's make them both like one big music video. Mm-hmm. And then came the idea that like, why don't we take all the music that we had written on Mansfield and make it one big epic movie? And we had a lot to say, I guess. This is our first big piece, first directorial debut from me and Craig. We're co-directing it, but we haven't spent this much time on a personal passion project since 2012.
And it's been about a year, right? Because right when you started helping with my podcast,
we
just started it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we thought we would be done after two shoots, but we've now been out there for 11 days and 10 nights.
So is it literally in the middle of nowhere where you couldn't get in trouble for any of this stuff, or have you been like spotted and got in trouble?
We haven't gotten any trouble.
Okay.
But that's because no one has found us.
Okay.
It is a government protected park. It's the Mojave Preserve. It is in the middle of nowhere. No one has cell service. You basically, you've driven the 15 to Vegas, right?
Uh-huh.
You know where the world's largest thermometer is in Baker?
Yeah.
So in Baker, which I've been to Baker way too many times now.
I feel like I have too, just from driving to Vegas.
It's just like, it's just a little
Greek
town.
Cafe, though. Mad Greek is delicious.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Ilya, our Croatian DP, like swears by that place.
It's like, so good.
He has to
I know
go
towns by food,
shoot.
But I guess I knew the thermometer. Anyways.
So if you make a hard right and go down Kelbaker Road, basically 40 miles, you'll come across the Kelso Dunes, which is where we started filming. It's in the middle of nowhere. That the stars are amazing out there, and it's so quiet.
That's cool. Do you guys camp outside, or do you sleep on the bus when you're there?
Sleep on the bus.
He also owns a bus that he lives on sometimes and drives across the country.
It's a 1988 Santa Monica Blue bus. It used to be in commission for the city.
It's so cool. So yeah. Do you put beds in it and stuff?
Oh yeah, we gutted it. I ripped all the seats out, and sold them actually.
You're also handy.
Oh, yeah.
So many things. All right. Ladies, he's single.
Carpenter, electrician.
So that scene, because I watched the trailer or whatever you sent me, when you guys are driving super fast through the desert.
Yeah.
That is just in the middle of nowhere.
Exactly.
And there's no road there, I assume.
There is a dirt road that's actually washed out right now. Like, you can't go down it. We were just there maybe 3 weeks ago, and there was a flood in the Mojave, and so, like, it was so fucked. I mean, I had a big dually truck that we could get back there, but if we had brought the bus on this trip, it wouldn't have made it.
Yeah.
But at the time, the shot you're referring to, we're hauling ass in the bus, and the cameraman has got a steady rig, and I've got the bus doors open. You know, I imagine, like, a transit city bus that you get on, you know, the big sliding doors that open up. Yeah, he's standing right there. Like, could fall out at any moment.
Jesus.
And then the motorcycle just drives up right alongside the bus on this dirt road. And that's how we filmed those shots. But they look like you have, like, a steady rig, big-time movie camera car kind of thing, because the bus keeps you pretty steady.
Did anyone end up getting injured with all these dangerous things?
I mean, everybody's got bumps and bruises. And, like, being out in the Mojave, I mean, the most that we can take is 3 days.
Yeah.
And it's a battle every time. It's a boxing match. I mean, first of all, it's all of us doing it at our own time. You know, it's purely operating and fueled on passion. And so everybody has a say, and rightfully should. But then, like, we're button heads out there yelling at each other. It's crazy because when you've got, in all reality, it's three people. It's me, Craig, and Ilya.
Okay.
We're the three musketeers. We're the only three guys who have been there for every shoot. And we're the manpower and the brains behind it.
Yeah. How many characters are in it? Is it just you guys that are in it?
There are a lot of characters.
So you cast other people and stuff too?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird I didn't get a call.
There's almost no women.
My phone must have been down. I'll call Verizon and just make sure.
No service out there. That was the problem.
Okay. All right.
But primarily, it's the story is like, it takes place in a dystopian future after, let's say Apple takes over the world. And so, there's only one company that issues your devices, gives you access to the internet. Slowly but surely, everyone gets conditioned to their protocol, to their software, to their programming. And it's kind of like this happens maybe 100 years from where we are now to where, like, you get issued a device, just like your cell phone, and it tells you what to do. And people have been doing it for so long that they're now just pretty much programmed to listen to it. And then, bam, the network gets fried, and then no one knows what to do because their devices are all down. So that's where the story takes place, right after that happens.
Okay.
And so the only people who had survived were these outlying folks who were like, fuck that, I'm not going to take this device and be controlled. And so they went out to the outlying territories in the middle of nowhere to try to survive and live life how they chose. And the big theme of it is that it's just a fight for music because music's outlawed in this world, and so
a little bit of Footloose involved.
Yeah, exactly.
So they couldn't dance.
Yeah, so they're basically fighting for their right to just play garage rock, and so all the instruments were confiscated and thrown in a big garbage dump. And it's one man's journey to find a guitar so he can just play his shitty garage rock again.
I love this.
And so, like, that it follows one guy. It's pretty alone. It's one man versus the elements, versus the desert, versus isolation. And so you're tracking this guy through the desert as he searches junkyards.
So it's Into the Wild meets Mad Max meets
Pink Floyd the Wall.
Pink Floyd the Wall, and I'm throwing in Footloose.
Yeah, Footloose. That's an accurate depiction. Okay. It's kind of hard to explain, and it might go over some people's heads. And
no, I totally understood it.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm excited to see it. When do you think it will come out? And are you going to have a premiere and stuff?
Absolutely.
Where are you going to screen it and premiere it and all that at?
Going to premiere it at my studio.
Okay.
Once it's finished, you know, with the construction, which I'm hoping late November.
Yeah.
Construction will be done. The edit will be done, and we'll premiere it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, but you got to get like a theater space.
Oh, my studio is like a 2,000 square foot warehouse.
Oh,
I'm saying
okay.
My studio, but I'm like looking at like it. Not a place where I'm going to live.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a 2,000 square foot warehouse.
Okay.
That I'm going to build a psych and a lighting grid.
Cool.
Yeah.
To do work. Throw like a cool party?
Absolutely.
I'm feeling like you need to like be inviting like big people to see this.
Yes. There'll be a very cool party, and all, if you're a big person, you should probably be there because all the other big cool people are going to be there.
Are you going to invite those band friends?
I am. 100%, although most of them probably won't come because they all live on the East Coast. But Mike will.
Where is this studio?
Chinatown. North side of Chinatown.
Okay. You're going to do two premieres. Here's
all right.
Why.
Okay.
That one, for sure. And you're going to invite a lot of people. And you're going to make, it's going to be a fun party. Then you're going to do one that's like in West Hollywood, Beverly Hills, because a lot of people are not going to want to go to Chinatown. And you're going to do one, or Hollywood, or West, whatever, one of those places, so that you get more of the... like people that might buy your movie.
Yeah. Okay.
So I just took over a little bit on.
Hey,
I
like
planning.
It. I like it. Executive producer stepping in here.
I like the idea of like a fun, cool, like party premiere thing in the Chinatown one. That's like young and hip.
It's kind of like the Chinatown one will be the one you can come to and get drunk and,
yes.
and stoned and do whatever you want. And like, I won't care. And then the other one, yeah, we'll get like seats in a theater.
Yeah.
Wear ties, suits.
Yes.
Try to get people with their pocketbooks to show up.
This is what you need. Yes.
Yeah. I see. I always forget the money part of things.
I have to write a list of things that you need to do. I'll do it after the podcast. List for Greg. Okay. We're going to wrap up in just 2 seconds. What did you move out here to do? Are you from here?
No. I'm from Indiana.
So, like, I moved out to LA to be an actor, and then I ended up getting into stand-up comedy and screenwriting. Which I guess is kind of like how you are. You do a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
Did you come out here for like one goal, or did you just move out here to move out here?
I came out here for a girl.
Really?
True story.
And you weren't planning on being in the entertainment industry?
Meh.
What were you
I
doing
was planning
before?
On being a world-renowned rock star. I mean, my line of sight at 21, 22 was just like, oh yeah, this like my songs are awesome. All I want to do is play music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play music. And make films, which I had been doing since I was young, and I hadn't really put a lot of thought into doing something that was going to accumulate money.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy just staying afloat, having fun.
Yeah,
my main concern was fun.
Well, you were young.
Exactly.
What did she move out here to do?
She was from here, so okay. I met her in college, but she was from Beverly Hills. So the only reason I ever came out here, honestly,
yeah,
was because I had my choice. I met her and I had an internship in Chicago, but
yeah.
then I was like just, you know, totally enthralled over this girl at the time. And I was like, spending the summer with her sounds like a lot more fun. And she's from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can whip up an internship in LA. Bada bing, bada boom, internship. Parents are okay with it. Her parents let me stay there temporarily until I found an apartment out mm-hmm. here. I worked at Abercrombie on the promenade.
Ooh. Did you expect to end up doing all this entertainment industry stuff?
Yes and no. I mean,
yeah.
I've filmed a lot of big time. You know, like
I've
filmed Ben Affleck. I've filmed Richard Gere.
Yeah.
Filmed some people, and it's like, man, I never thought I'd be there.
Yeah.
And that's been amazing.
You've done a lot of cool shit. I know your career is going to 100% like be huge. Maybe it will be this movie. Maybe it'll be your next one. I don't know.
Maybe.
Would you? I feel like the overall theme, like for you guys at least, and what I'm picking up from this, and kind of how my entertainment industry career is like, basically, you never know where shit's gonna lead you. So always say yes to things and try and you know, give it your best effort, and you know, don't be afraid to go to the Mojave Desert with a couple buddies and film a movie, because it could be one of those you could be like the next. You know, I'm trying to think of like one that, you know, those ones that like are independent and then they get huge, you get picked up from a film festival.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is that what you would say the overall theme of your life and career so far has been?
100% believe, but I've seen magic happen.
Yeah.
I think that's my purpose, I think, is just to encourage people to not give up on whatever stupid dream that they have, because it's so much more important than whatever 9 to 5, even accumulating money. Like, just like, there's a certain satisfaction of like this like wild idea you had and then it coming to life in the real world.
Yeah.
And like encouraging people to do that is the purpose of my life.
Yeah. And money comes when you're doing what you love.
It does.
And it comes when you're putting yourself out there. Nothing's going to happen when you don't put yourself out there. I mean, you have nothing to lose. Magic only happens when you're actually like taking risks and doing shit.
100%.
This was so inspirational. Look at us. We should write a quote book.
There we go.
Greg, thank you so much for doing this. Will you tell everyone where they can find you? Like,
yes.
Website for business contact, your Instagram and socials and all that stuff.
Yeah, here we go. I'm go gonzo flow on everything. Mm-hmm. All the social media streams.
Might want to spell that out.
Yeah. Go G-O-G-O. Mm-hmm. Gonzo, like the Muppet, G-O-N-Z-O. Flow, like the streams do, F-L-O-W.
Great.
Go gonzo flow. And then if you want, you know, if you need basically anything done in the digital realm, whether it's photos, graphic design, video, or whatever, and you don't know where to turn and you can't afford most of the snobby people who price themselves way, way too high, nocollarfilms.com.
Yep. Awesome.
Love to work with you.
Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Rachel, R-A-C-H-A-E-L-N-O-B-R-I-E-N. Show dates. I'm going to be traveling a lot this month. So, and for California shows, like I'm going to Charleston and London with Stassi. I don't think I'm going to be doing shows there though, but maybe. I'll be in Dallas next week, October 5th and 6th, or 4th and 5th. I don't know. But for shows, I will be at the La Jolla Comedy Store on October 25th. That's near San Diego. October 7th, I'll be at a place called Sal's Comedy Hole in West Hollywood. There's more shows, but I'm blanking. But we'll start there. All right. Love you guys. Bye. Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.